Final mission, the Masachta, deals with Nechnakin, people who, again, this isn't the way the Gemara is ordered, because Hachela comes last in the Gemara, but the first case in the last Mishnah of Hanechnakin, Misnabe B'Shem Avodazara, Ve'omer Kach, Amra Avodazara, Filu Kiven Es Halacha, Tame Es Hatame, Ulitaher Es Hatahar. So somebody who says something in the name of Avodazara, even if the particular substance of the comment is not at all offensive, they're saying that which is Tahor is Tahor, and that which is Tameh is Tameh. It doesn't matter, because the Chi of Misa, the Mechayiv, is not in terms of did you render that which is Tahor Tameh, or that which is Tameh Tahor, but in terms of lending credence to the veracity of that which is the greatest falsehood from a theological or dogmatic standpoint in the world, the Avodah Zarah. Habal ish el eshes ish, kevan shenichlas to the Rishis Habal in Yisuin, afal pishalo nivola, Haba aleha hareze bechenek. So the punishment for Eshes Ish is chenek, and we define Eshes Ish as even if the married couple were not able to consummate the marriage as yet, right? Let's say the shluchei ha'av simply handed it over to the shluchei ha'bal, even that counts, that's considered to be nisuin. She went into the reshus of the baal, the different ways that we effectuate nisuin, knisa l'chupa, yichud, etc. There are many different ways, many different shitos in the Rishonim as to what constitutes nisuin, knisa l'rishus, etc. So here what we're saying is that once she's in the rishus of the baal, even though they haven't consummated the marriage, it's misas chenek, and that's a kula. That's a leniency, because prior to that, what would her status have been if she was an arusa, right? So the halacha would have been, right? Nara murasa could theoretically be skila, right? So actually, very fascinating idea that a nisua is a lower level violation than an arusa. It's a little bit counterintuitive, because you would think that the greater intrusion upon somebody else's marriage is to invade where there's already been nisuin. If he hasn't yet consummated the marriage, you could argue that maybe it's not quite as... I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's good. But if you had asked me without knowing anything else, which one is skila and which one is chenek, I would have said, oh, she's already married. That's probably skila. If it's only an arusa, I would have said it's chenek. But that's a very important point. And what that gets to is the idea of kiddushin, of hekdish, of sanctity, that when you're talking about an arim urasa, the reason that the Torah, the halacha, treats it so stringently with the most grave of all of the capital punishments, skila, which is the way that we paskin, again, against Rabbi Shimon, according to the Chachamim, is the most grave, is because it's an assault not only on this marriage, which has yet to be consummated, right? That's true of the Nisun also, but it's an assault on the very institution of Kiddushin, right? That Kiddushin is, as the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Ishos, Kodem Matan Torah and La'achar Matan Torah. It was a Rubicon that after Matan Torah, we introduced the concept of Kiddushin. Prior to that, all that a person had to do was kind of what we call common law marriage, was to bring a woman into his rishos, into his private domain, and that was considered to be sufficient. So this is a very critical point. Last case in the Masachta, and we'll expand on this on Shabbos a little bit, is can be understood in one of two ways. Zomimei bas kohen ubo Allah. So it could be that those who falsely testify against the bas kohen and the man that allegedly had a relationship with her, or zomimei bas kohen, comma ubo Allah. Right, and somebody who has relationship with her, even though the punishment for the bas kohen is uvas kohen kisei chelis nos as avia hi mechaleles ba'esh tisareif, she gets a chiyuv sreifa because she's attacking her father and his kahuna. But the boel, the man, is not punished as harshly; he's only given a din chenek in the case of let's say nesua. And we say that the Edim Zomimin, even though generally speaking we say Kasher Zomim Lasos, whatever they intended to do is what happens to them. So Kasher Zomim, you would think, would be Sreifa. But the Pasuk says Kasher Zomim Lasos Le'achiv. It has to be to the male, not to the female. So they're already shunted over into the sphere of Chenek as opposed to Sreifa. Okay, Hareza B'Chenek. So the question is, let's say they didn't say anything about the Balei HaTosos deal with this issue, and we come back to it on Shabbos. So let's say they didn't testify at all about the man. So it was just Zomimei Bas Kohen, right, and having nothing to do with Bo'Allah. So would that be different than a situation of Zomimei Bas Kohen Ubo'Allah, that they spoke about both of them at the same time? Because in that respect, you could say it's a really, really normal din of Kasher Zaman, because their words were directed not only against this Bas Kohen falsely, but also against the man that she was with. Shekol HaZomen, Makdim Lo Samisa. The general principle is that they get whatever they sought to bring upon somebody else, Chutz Mizomen Me Bas Kohen, Ubo Allah, that they are shunted over from Sreifa to a din of Chenek. It's very fascinating that the Masechta concludes with the principles of Edim Zomen. And this is noted by so many, because the next Masechta that will start, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow night, Makos, of course, right, focuses very heavily at the beginning of the first parak on the topic of Edim Zomen, right? So the idea is that, sort of like the continents, right, you could see where Africa and South America used to be attached, pretty clear. You look at a map, you see where they, so, right, this entire discussion of Sanhedrin and Makos, at one point, according to some, were a unified Masechta. And you could sort of see the natural breaking point if you order Hadnechnaking in the way that it really is in the Mishnah. Again, in the standard edition of the Gemara, Perek HaChelek, what we learned as the 10th Perek of Mishnayos, actually is put last, but it actually makes quite a bit of sense to place Hadnechnaking last based on the sequence of Mishnayos. So we say Hadron Alach Masechta Sanhedrin. Wonderful to learn the beautiful Mishnayos of Sanhedrin. Everyone is fascinating in its own right, and we look forward to continuing with a new Masechta, which is really part of the same Masechta in many levels. Masechta Makos will continue tomorrow night.